State and Federal Affairs Committee meeting, May the 27th, 1971.
Subcommittee on State and Federal Affairs will come to order. I'm going to take testimony even though the other members aren't here because we have a full committee meeting scheduled at 3:15, and we're not going to be able to get through this whole agenda even if that's wrong. Start with Senate Bill 275, Senator Tia.
Mr. Chairman, this measure was introduced and was slightly amended after its introduction. The bill, first of all, as some of the amendments show, I can tell better from my other bill because it showed the amendments that we proposed. But in the first instance, at the present time, there is a $500 boost income under the existing law in foreign zone use. This was extended to $1,500. And I have to tell the chairman, I recall being involved in this in the early part of it, the discussions in future times, and it was almost a coin flip in operation, what's fair and what isn't. The whole purpose, of course, and the worry and concern about it related to whether or not we were going to get some old gentleman farmer in underneath this section of law. $1,300, I don't know, there wasn't any real strong or sharp testimony. $1,500 would drive out a lot of people. There was some concern it might be tough on low income. I really don't know. But anyway, I've heard no violent reaction to $1,500 raising from $5 to $1,500. The second new part of this measure deals with the exploration. Now, there's been a cause for concern in respect to leasing of this ground. Now, you see, in the zone area, there's a certain restriction upon what can be done. And if something else takes place and they lose this provision of law. And so we've got to thinking about geothermal and the leasing for the possibility of drilling to see if such a thing exists. And you'll see that we've made appropriate changes and extended it not only to that, but for another kind of drilling that might take place. You get a lease or a lease option, and then you drill. If you don't find anything, you just up the rig and go. Under the old law, there was a lease, and of course that converted the darn thing, and they may just pull up the rig and go, and there you are without provisions of existing law. So we say you can do this. Now obviously if they go into production for geothermal or for anything else, they might be able to find subsurface. That's conversion, and that takes it out of the context of the law. Another part of this talked about what we call a dual set of books, is to say what the taxes would have been, and this is somewhat of a vexation. Administratively, there were many of us that felt that actually that this wasn't really necessary. We know what they are. When the conversion comes, the assessor keeps track of this, and there's really no need to, because when the conversion takes place, there's the payback, and there's really no need to keep the two set of books, and we felt that that was administratively a better way to handle this. Another significant part, and we feel again to try to keep out what we call a gentleman farmer type thing, is the platting of land. You'll find out in sub 6, page 5. Well, we've sort of tinkered, I think I'm picking out as I remember, what were the more significant features of the bill. I'm sure I'm not hitting all of the amendments that we made, but I think what I have done is picked out the either controversy, if you want to call them that, or the significant parts of this measure. And if there's anyone else who appears to testify, they can fill in any nooks and crannies that I didn't fill. But that's Senate Bill 275.
All right. Any questions on 275?
What statute are you repealing there? Section 6.
Repealing? I don't remember that specifically. It may have had something to do with this two set of book things, and I don't recall. It's the two sets of records. Yes. 308-385 is the dual set of books.
308-385 is the approval of application by county assessor. Upon approval of the application under, or the county assessor shall transmit a copy of the approved application to the county clerk or recorder for recordation in the county.
Recordation.
In the county record of deeds, the copy shall include a warning of potential future tax liability.
Right. You'll find that, Mr. Chairman, in section 3 of the bill, page 4, and it's put in 309.390. Upon approval of an application, it goes on. And the tax roll notation, potential additional tax liability, it's imposed. And that's been moved over there. That's all I have on that. I would,
there's still other general statutory provisions for this recording.
That's in this bill. Page 4, section 3, line 15, on down. Actually, the potential, quote, potential additional tax liability, end quote, is on line 21. Page 4. If I'm a little hazy on this, you see, I introduced the bill. It wasn't anywhere near what it is right now. And this was built up from various individuals' views on the measure, and I figure this is a good place to put some of these things. So I presume
the original bill was a page and a half long.
It was very short, yes. But I think I've really covered the highly controversial parts of this measure. And we did consider it several times in Senate tax.
It's past 30 to nothing in Senate.
That doesn't mean much.
Well, it's 30 to nothing.
28 to nothing. 28
to
2, I'm
down. 30 zip vote.
I carried
one on the floor that was
29
to zip.
Didn't make it?
Okay. 29 in the House. If the chairman wouldn't mind, I would like to explain Senate Bill 658.
All right. Wally, do you really want to testify on this?
Say much more.
Okay, thank you. Senate Bill 658. Senator Tia.
Now, on this one, I'm sure you'll get additional testimony, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to describe to you the workings of Senate Bill 658 as best as I can. As the chairman will know, and we've, over a period of years, discussed the IED budget and the dramatic increase in the IED budgets. There have been bills in repeatedly in this legislative body trying to somehow deal with the IED budget. This bill is not a non-controversial measure among those who are interested in education. But I'd like to discuss with you what is the makeup of an IED budget and try to discuss what is being attempted in Senate Bill 658. Now, at the present time, what is in large categories being done in the IED, there are what we call contract services. Now, this would be a service in which a school district would contract with the IED to conduct something. It may be a remedial reading or whatever, but it's in their own budget. It's in the school district's budget. And in fact, they're paying the IED to do it. And the basic concept behind that is that they can do it cheaper than we can. And therefore, it's in our budget. Our people have voted on that budget, but we will contract with the IED to do it. That's contract service. Now we move over and start doing some separation, because after that point, we have what are called negotiated services. And this calls for 2/3 of the districts, representing half the students, would this negotiate is the right word.
Resolution.
See what I mean? You get a lot of people here. Resolution. And this is 2/3 of the districts representing half the students. And they are then asking the IED to provide the service for the school districts under the IED budget. There is another portion of it, which for the purpose of what I'll call right now is the administrative part of the budget. And And that's the actual administration, the people that are involved in running the IED. And then the fourth factor is equalization. Now, what this bill is attempting to do, and the arguments that you will hear, and well, let me get into it and then describe the arguments. What this bill says, in effect, we're going to limit the resolutions and the administration to a 6% increase. And that they cannot go exceed the 6% without a vote of the people. Now, you have to understand that the entire IED budget at the present time is under the 6%, the whole thing. And the arguments that we proposed before you is that why take a piece out of something and add another 6% to it? All right. But what's actually occurring is, and let me make a presumption, that an IED goes before the people containing these elements that I described to you, and ask for them to approve an excess of 6%, and the people do not approve that. What actually occurs is that the administrative and the resolution portions of the IED budget eats into the equalization, because that's the only place they can get it. They've got the entire amount. There are some who are very much concerned about the growth of this, and to be perfectly fair with some of my school districts in the state of Oregon, they're becoming more and more aware of this resolution way of doing something. The school district will try before their own people to get something done, and the people will turn it down. Well, I know there's a communication between school districts in every county. And they say, well, gee whiz, yeah, we tried that too, and that we couldn't get that done. And, well, okay, let's all get together, and two-thirds of us representing half the students, and see if we can't get the IED to do something that the school districts were unable to do. So this is a growing thing, and growing concern. Now, I'm speaking, of course, for the sponsors of this bill. I'm not sure they can give you their own reasons, but we had two or three hearings on the measure. But I want to make sure that we understand exactly what I'm trying to say. Yes, it is true that we're limiting an internal part of a budget to 6% in addition to the whole budget. The concern is about going for election. Are you going to have people voting on two things? The whole IED budget and the piece of it within that. The answer, as I see it, is that they would go to the people with one budget, which will include that excess of 6% for the two pieces that I described to you. And if that's turned down, then I would presume that would lose ground, meaning these two pieces, and that equalization would remain as such, because what, as I say, is occurring is that gradually we're eating into equalization. And there's some very vivid descriptions as to the immense increase in the IED budgets. 100%, things like that within a relatively short period of years. We don't have anything like that in school districts themselves. Something's going on. Anyway, this passed reasonably significantly. I know there was some objection, and this is not non-controversial, because it is controversial. But this is what we've attempted to do, and I think we've done it in an orderly way. Now, it's up to the policy of this committee, and after hearing the testimony, whether they want to accept Senate Bill 658. But I believe it's the best measure that relates to the IED that we've had before us in the legislative body.
Representative,
we've passed a different way of allocating basic school support.
Yes.
What bearing does that have on the IED function? And we've gone to more flat grants. That, as I recall, that turning us away from equalization in basic school support.
Yes, well, understanding equalization would be, in this context, countywide equalization. We're talking about, there is equalization that takes in school districts into account, but by and large, we're dealing at a statewide level. The equalization factor itself relates, in this sense, to the countywide. My own particular case, my school district is a contributing district equalization. We give more, receiving. We're not a receiving district, we give more. because it's within the county, though.
In your judgment, then, it's, we're going away from statewide type equalization. Then do you think we should strengthen local equalization? Then is that your basic position?
I don't think I'm really going to take a position on it in that sense, because I haven't thought about it that deeply to tell you, answer you that. I guess what I'm saying to you is that at some point there was a decision that this would be significant equalization, that is. And if we're going to follow that particular theory, then we are losing ground under the way it's presently operated in IEDs. Honestly, I haven't given that a philosophical thought, so I don't know if I can fairly answer you in that sense. I'd have to think about it before I really give you a fair answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Evans? Before we get into this too far, I must warn everyone, we do have a full committee meeting scheduled, and if everyone's going to go quite a time, we're not going to get through all the witnesses. I'm sorry about that, but we have too many bills.
My name is Evan Evans. I'm a speech therapist in Marion County Intermediate Education District. And I'm speaking on behalf of special education teachers throughout Oregon who are genuinely concerned with the handicapped children. Mr. Chairman, members of the State and Federal Affairs Committee, I appreciate an opportunity to express an opinion on Senate Bill 658. I am here in opposition to it in its present form. I would like to refer you to Oregon Revised Statutes 334.005. It is here that the purpose of the Intermediate Education District is defined. It is the purpose of Chapter 544, Oregon Laws 1963, to provide maximum excellence in education and as nearly equal educational opportunities for all children of this state as is feasible under optimum local control. In order to accomplish this purpose, the Legislative Assembly intends that the intermediate education districts established under the provisions of ORS 344.010 shall succeed the rural school district and provide professional services and facilities in education and shall furnish such services and facilities on a cooperative basis with local districts as may further the intent and purpose of Chapter 544 of Oregon Laws 1963. Gentlemen, as a special education teacher, I know that the 1963 legislature did an excellent job with this piece of legislation because it is working. If Senate Bill 658 should pass in its present form, it appears that the purpose as set forth in ORS 334.005 would be changed considerably. Some of the key phrases in the purpose are, quote, maximum excellence in education and nearly equal educational opportunities for all the children under optimum local control, unquote. Senate Bill 658 would dispute this purpose by denying all children, for example, those in the minority with special handicaps, such as speech and hearing defects, and the educably and trainably mentally retarded, their chance for maximum excellence in education. Under optimum local control would be changed to complete voter control. Please, gentlemen, consider for a moment what this means to the children that I see. Special education is just that. It concerns itself with a small percentage of students who have handicaps in some form or another. These may be in reading, these may be mental retardation or psychological. or in my own area of speech, hearing, and communication disorders. In grades 1 through 8, about 2% of the elementary school-aged children have extreme learning problems. Another 2% of the elementary school-aged children, in communication disorder section, 5% of the school population have problems with articulation, voice, stuttering, cleft palate, language, and hearing. True, these statistics are small. They are in the minority, but therein lie our responsibilities. A responsibility to the child with psychological or emotional problems. A responsibility to the child who cannot read or cannot hear. And certainly a responsibility to the child who stutters and cannot communicate. The majority of the public, fortunately, does not have to face these children day after day and witness their struggle in the educational environment. I believe it is up to us to represent this minority who need these programs but do not have the majority in terms of numbers to see that these programs are implemented. If Senate Bill 658 becomes law, it will severely restrict services to these children. Where are these kids going to get help? You may say, let the local districts provide the services. But may I remind you that that too requires a vote of the people, a vote where the majority rules, when the majority does not have a mentally retarded child, a child who cannot communicate, a child which parents search hopelessly for someone or some program that just may help him. I used to be one of those who felt that the public should vote on every issue. But as I grow older, my idealism is salted with a pinch of realism. I know that those that have no interest in a subject will not vote necessarily responsibly. I am sure this is why we have elected officials, to represent the public. You, as representatives of the state of Oregon, are elected and are very responsive and interested in the affairs that pertain to the state of Oregon. School boards are elected and are representatives of the public too. They are very responsive and interested in the affairs that pertain to education in their local areas. Present statutes provide that 2/3 of these school district boards with a majority of the IED average daily membership must approve the programs before they can be implemented by the IEDs. In Marion County alone, the least number of board members or representatives to implement an IED program is 150. In other words, 150 elected representatives who are responsible, interested people must approve the program before it can be carried out. I've been told that there are a few isolated IEDs who have gotten around the 2/3 requirement for resolution, but we in no way approve of this. If this is the case, then let's bring them to task and not the IEDs who are providing good services to the youngsters of this state who so desperately need them. Presently, the IEDs are the only governmental unit that can provide services to children with handicaps without a tyranny between the unconcerned majority and the minority. Is it really necessary to dry up this source of funds, the only source of funds for kids who desperately need these services without fighting the majority? These services are presently possible resolution by approval of 2/3 of the board members representing a majority of the average daily membership in the IEDs. It is virtually impossible to provide these services locally when they depend upon a vote of the people who are, for the most part, not involved. Why not let the people who are representatives of the school districts, who are informed, interested individuals, decide on the issues pertaining to IED programs, rather than a majority of voters who have no specific interest and little or no information. The minority of voters who are concerned and informed just don't have the muscle at the ballot box, yet they desperately need and utilize the IED services. As I understand Senate Bill 658, it would limit the IEDs to the amount levied in the preceding year, plus an amount equal to 6% thereof in its operating budget and special services under resolutions. As you know, this would make the IEDs the only governmental body so restricted. This too affects my kids. It makes it nearly impossible to add to or change services provided to these children. So please, let's not kill the programs for these kids, or whatever the reason. Is it really necessary to include resolutions and 6% limitation in Senate Bill 658 at the risk of denying youngsters their chance to a maximum excellence in education and nearly equal educational opportunities for all children?
Question, Mr. Rhodes?
I just have a couple. Now, do you think it was the intent of the legislature when it first established the system of IEDs that their primary function should be money or service, money equalization, or services, or both?
I really don't know what their emphasis. I really am more concerned with just how the programs are affecting the schools. I'm not that much up on the administrative staff.
What? Why do you feel that the special education would be hurt under this?
Well,
you feel that special education gets a better break under the present, if I understand you right, that's what you're saying, gets a better break under the...
Yes, I do. You see...
That's it. Thank you.
Stewart?
Yes, sir.
You want to testify on this?
374.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Mr. Dudry? We're not going to have the time. We got seven or eight guys all.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Chris Dudley. I'm Research Director for Oregon Tax Research, and I'm here to speak in favor of Senate Bill 658. First of all, I'd like to point out that in conjunction with Senator Atiyah's testimony about the increases in IED budgets and our green letter number 11, which you all should have access to somewhere, we did explain the degree of those increases, and over a period of four fiscal years from 1967-68 to 1970-71, of 28 of the 29 IEDs averaged a 128% increase their administrative budget levies. This, commensurate with this, is a decrease in the amount of equalization that can be funded within the constitutional 6% limitation. And basically what this bill does is it applies a statutory 6% limitation to that portion of the IED budget over which IED superintendents and school boards have jurisdiction. The equalization portion of the budget is accomplished by the county assessor. It goes through their budget. They have no authority in the way it's spent. And what we're trying to do through this law is treat them like any other school district. And that is, if they want to provide services that are paid for from a local property tax levy that otherwise would not be subject to board approval for increases, that they be subject to this 6% limitation. They want to exceed that limitation, then they must ask for approval. I'd like to direct your attention to the fact that originally as drafted, this bill applied a 6% limit to the total budget. It was changed to apply only to the levy so that it would not influence those contract services which school districts finance through their own budget, but contract with the IED to provide, if in fact the IED may provide them more efficiently than the local school district. It does not affect the level of services presently in existence through resolution services or through the administrative budget. It would not affect any increase in services that are financed from funds other than the local property tax relief or local property tax levy. It is our contention that it is only meet and right that the people within the jurisdiction of an IED have the privilege to vote on whether their property taxes that are going to be levied anyway, regardless, because they're within the 6% limitation, but they get the decision whether they want that to be used for IED programs providing services to school districts, or if they want that to be used for equalization. And most other of my testimony would be repeating ground that's already gone over, so I won't do it, but I'd like to say that many of the services that the IEDs are taking now are presently being provided by some of the school districts in the, not necessarily all of them, but some of the school districts in the IED already. So what they're doing is they're switching the burden of financing it from their own tax levies in their own district to the tax levy of the IED, which is not subject to a vote. Some other districts may get a new service, may not get a new service. But again, I emphasize, this will not restrict existing services at existing program levels. If they want an increase in services or a new program, then they must submit it to a board of people.
Questions?
Just a couple. If I'm getting the drift of this argument, are we trying to legislate then line items in an IED budget?
No.
You're trying to restrict the total amount that can be levied for the administrative budget. But that's still a line item in their budget.
No, they're both, all their line items are included in that budget. Then the equalization portion, which they never touch.
But I'm still thinking. Okay, I got a bigger line item.
Okay. We're trying to limit to 6% increase the tax levy that is used the same way as the tax levy is used by any other school district.
Now you talk, let me throw the same question at you that I've asked Senator Attia. We've changed the method of funding basic school support from, largely, or part of it being equalization kind of function at the state level. We're almost exclusively going to go to flat payments, and over a period of years it'll happen, unless the legislature changes its mind. So then, is it your contention that we have to devote more money at the IED level to balance that out in equalization?
That would not be the working of this bill or the intent of this bill. The intent of this bill would be to preserve the amount of equalization that's left presently in IED budgets. It's a little bit different situation. Your equalization through the basic school support formula comes from income taxes collected statewide. Your equalization at the local level comes from property taxes collected countywide and distributed back on an ADM, every state of membership basis. And as far as your question goes, no, that isn't what this law does. What it does is preserve the amount tax.
But isn't that kind of a spin-off of it?
Is that the reason this came up?
Well, even if it isn't one of the reasons for the bill, isn't that a possible impact of it?
No, because there is.
I sense you're trying to stop Empire, as I see it, the argument is let's stop Empire building and IEDs and administration and services that school districts could perform themselves. Then that implies to me that you want to put more money in equalization. Is that true or false?
It's false under this bill because the IED's administrative levy could increase 6% a year, and the tax base could increase 6% a year. Therefore, it would maintain its proportion within the tax base that goes through the administrative budget of the IED. It's up to the voters then whether they want to accept
a tax levy in excess of the 6% limitation for equalization, and that's how they get more money into equalization.
You envision that this will hurt the special classes in IEDs?
I hate to put it that way, that it will hurt.
Well, I,
it will,
no, I'll put it any other way. If you don't have them, it's certainly going to hurt them.
They could, they will have the same amount of money they have this year and next year, and they will have more money if it's approved by the voters.
Then it limits it.
And if they want, they can contract the services, put it in their own budgets, send it to the IED for them to provide the services for, say, a type of teacher that only spends 2 days a week or 3 hours 1 day a week in certain districts for a small number of people. They can still provide this service if they fund it through their budget, or if the residents of the IED are going to increase the new program.
What if the people don't vote for it?
Then it won't happen.
This is the problem with getting special education. That's why the state has a deaf school out here and a blind school over here, because districts haven't supplied it. And they are now just starting on programs where they do take care of these people at home. So we don't have this burden here. And I am sort of reluctant to trim the cords, so to speak, to cut out some of these special programs. If you happen to have a child that has a speech impediment, you don't want to bring them to Portland to move to Portland to take care of it. And we forced, for years, we forced people that had deaf children to move to Portland. I don't want to continue this trend.
Representative Howard, I don't think that an IED, a representative of the IED point of view, can justify and say that you will cut this out, as they have never before had to present these questions to the people. They haven't ever had to put it on the basis of, look, we want a mentally retarded training program. Look, we want to teach the deaf, or teach somebody with a few students with speech impediments. They've never had to submit it to people before. And if they get it, it's a justifiable program, and it's a good program, I have enough faith in the voters in school districts, and you know that school districts have gotten much more rapid increases in the funding than any other type of district in the state. I'm confident that they won't cut out, or they won't just cut off kids like this.
That's awful hard for me to believe that the voters are that good, because you're watching, you see it.
But the point is, they never have submitted a program like this way. I mean, they've never had to ask for money for that purpose.
Representative McPherson.
Were you in the room?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out in my mind, with the constitutional limitation, 6% limitation is in the Constitution, why do they need this statutory for IEDs?
Okay, an IED may have a $500,000 tax base. $100,000 of it may be used for the administrative budget and resolution services. There is no limitation on the amount that can increase. The next year they may have a $530,000 tax base because of the 6% increase, but they may have $300,000 of it for the IED administrative budget, thus reducing the amount that's available for equalization within the tax base, and there's no check.
Any further questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Hansel.
Chairman, members of the committee, a little bit difficult to come in holding your deliberations and leave all of the thoughts behind them. I've had, as we have worked in ways and means, that we were working on intercommittee bills, as I received notice that you were ready for me to testify. The bill I, before your committee, Senate Bill 658, very important bill to me. I think it's important to the taxpayers of the state. The IED budget, and this was explained on the floor very carefully, and you all listened to us just 2 days ago, and I'm not going to attempt to go through all that Dr. Terry presented because everybody's in this faction. But the purpose of my bill is to take the administrative part of the IED and subject it to the 6% limitation, the same as the equalization part is now. Under the IED law, all of the school budgets are of an IED district are taken, and the amount equal to half of it is levied against the taxes of the state, of the district. Administrative costs come out of this budget. Administrative costs originally, and as the bill was presented to us back in 63, wasn't supposed to be very large, but there have been some changes in the bill now, and I have the statute here that established the procedures whereby a majority of the districts representing a majority of the school children in the state can petition for additional services. And we have all of a sudden the administrative costs of the IED covering counseling, audiovisual, television, computers, a whole variety of things. And these budgets are not subject to the 6% limitation and have grown by leaps and bounds in various counties. We have a condition where if a local budget cannot pass, frequently a service that's been performed by a school district will all of a sudden appear as an IED service. And this comes out of the administrative budget. But now the budget then, if people turn down an increase in 6% limitation increase in the IED budget, this doesn't affect the administrative part of it at all, because this comes out of the top of before the money is sent back. And under the IED law, half these school budgets levied clear across the county goes back on the basis of where the students are. But the administrative costs are deleted first, and that leaves a lessening amount. We find in Morrison County some very interesting statistics indicating that the total amount of that the growth of the administrative part of the budget is amounted to 430%, and this has cut the total amount of equalization a great deal. Opposed to the proposals I have here, you'll find many of the school district board people, as well as the school district people, or school board people, and school administrators, because they have seen in the present IED law an opportunity to get many very desirable programs without having to face the voters with this responsibility. If my bill is passed, the voters, the taxpayers of the district, will have an opportunity to vote on these services prior to their continuance. I know it's a rather complicated area, and I've attempted to get over it rather rapidly. As I've said before, there are people, many school people, who are in opposition to it, largely on the basis that it's given them an opportunity to get some programs for schools that they very much want. Now, there are some real bad things that are taking place in the IED, as because of the difference in the amount of equalization money that comes back. In my county of Umatilla, one area, there are receiving areas and there are contributing areas. And the areas that are contributing will historically vote against any increase in the 6% limitation, while the areas that are receiving will madly, crazily support it. And we'll see odd distortions of 800 to 50 in one area, and in another area that the votes will be 300 or 400 to 60 or 70, just in the opposite way, largely on the basis of who receives. Now these contributing districts, the districts that have the high tax value with a lower amount of students, some of them have become a little bit cagey in this, and they've discovered that if they can ask for some of these programs that they're offering in their schools to be offered through the IED, they have an opportunity to cream off some of this money. Then if they could defeat the 6% limitation increase, why they can
get a good share of their services out of this fund. There's some crazy things going on in this over the state, and I think my bill will is attempting to correct a lot of it. I was a little bit surprised that many of the that there haven't been more people showing interest in this bill who are connected with school board, because many of them are they're about evenly balanced about those who contribute and those who receive. I think the whole law should be changed and modified and corrected, and mine is an attempt to do it. I would urge, however, that you not make any amendments to my bill. The session's getting late, and if it is to pass, it should come out here a relatively clean, simple bill away from the Senate.
Thank you, Stan. Question for Representative Hansel. Representative Densmore.
Standard question A1. We changed the funding of basic services board to provide some more flat grants and freeze equalization at state level. Then is it kind of part of your contention in this bill that we need to preserve or increase the amount of county equalization to offset that?
No, I didn't say that, but certainly county equalization is an important part of this package. And the original IED concept was that 50% of the operating budget would go back as equalization. And I'm just saying let's keep as much of it as possible going back in the form of equalization, rather than in these extra school costs that no one really has an opportunity to get a handle on.
One more question. I have had a little bill in, I don't think gone anywhere in the Education Committee, to change the method by which you will elect directors to the IED board. Do you think that might help alleviate the situation at all?
I have no quarrel at all with the way the IEDs have boards of operate. I think most of them are very sincere in their beliefs that what they're doing is right. In my county, they're split just about even, Stephen, as to, and if your proposal would get them equally distributed around over the county, I'd certainly support that.
I know I would. None of them are from my area.
Now that we're the Education Committee, can we have that open again?
Further questions for Representative Hansel.
So I think many of you want to take a look at what has happened to the IED operating budget. This is a green sheet from your taxes has this, with the exception of one, I think the complete list.
Staff, thank you very much. Representative McPherson.
1969, we have been this task force report on education, which recommended, as I recall, the elimination of IEDs. Your bill doesn't go quite that far. Would you suggest to the committee that we consider amending it to do that?
That's controversial. I don't think that this session of the legislature would do that, so I think that perhaps my bill has a chance, since it has been through the Senate. And I wouldn't even want to say that I would favor that until because I think there are some benefits, especially where in the areas where there are a number of smaller schools. Of course, we have five or six counties that are getting along with the county units. You probably didn't hear a talk that I gave in Portland to an association of women's groups up there earlier in the session, and I advocated that we go to 36 county unit systems and do away with the IED. Barring that, I would just have to back up a little bit. If we aren't going to make county units complete, then we probably there's some functions of the IED that are necessary.
Stafford, do you know, since the institution of IEDs, whether or not there has been any individual IED people who are in charge of it who have promoted school district consolidation within the district?
I don't know. School district consolidation is a nasty word. Most of us want to be loved, and people don't go around rushing around to say we very often. I sure have seen very many.
If each county had a county unit system, would there be any need, in your mind, for IEDs?
There would not.
Thank you.
Thanks, staff. Mr. Barnhung, is it?
Time, I would like to defer to Dr. Cherry.
Well, I'm going to going to call on some of the people from out of town, unless all of you want to wait. We may have to come back for another hearing, and there's some people that come from as far away as Curry County, and I'm going to get to the out-of-towners, and then we're going to get back to some of the people that come again.
Well, I have, there's four board members here from Douglas County.
Why don't you pick someone of Douglas County board members here, one of you to speak?
I'm Forrest Kennedy, chairman of Douglas County IED District, and also the chairman of the Knight School Board. And most of these things have been gone over, but I'd like to clarify a few things there in regards to the functioning of the IEDs. They talk about the tremendous growth of the administrative part of it and so forth. And as you all know, in the last 4 years, it's been possible for the IED to function and offer to the children of Douglas County and the other counties that they operate in services that they've never been able to have before, due to the fact that if a school has one child that is deaf and one child that is speechless or something like this, they cannot hire a teacher and have a room and meet state standards and so forth for these things. The IED board has been able, through cooperation with the schools, the superintendents, to offer these services on either a resolution or a contract basis. And I feel that in our county particularly, and I know in some of the other counties, that the children of the county, and this is what we're primarily interested in, are getting a far better education and more services than they would ever been able to have otherwise. The bill that's 658 has a tendency to take away a lot of the local control. And Douglas County on the IED board, out of the 7 board members, and out of the 7 budget board members, we have 10 board members of school districts on there, so I feel that we're well represented from all of the schools there. And this bill has a tendency to eliminate the fact that under some conditions, a school like the size of Roseburg, Salem, Portland, and so forth, true enough, can have programs for their handicapped children or their educatable mentally handicapped or so forth. But what about the other districts that deserve the same child, deserves the same rate, that can't afford it? And this is one of the services that they've been able to give and expand. And for the first time in a lot of these people's lives, they've been able to bring these children out from under the bed and give them an education that they deserve. I'm sure the first fellow that spoke said most of the rules and laws and everything very eloquently when he spoke. And that's about all I have to say. And I represent the school superintendents of Douglas County. They're on record of being opposed to this bill 658 as well as the IED.
Questions? Kennedy.
I have read that report. I doubt some of the veracity of it.
Well, let's see how true it is. It shows that the operating levy for the Douglas IEP district in 1967-68 was $185,000, $185,903. It shows that the operating or service tax levy for the Douglas IED district was $369,000 in 1970-71. And it estimates that the IED operating levy for Douglas will be in the neighborhood of $550,000. For the coming year. Are those figures accurate?
As well as my memory, I don't know down to dollars and cents, but it's close.
Well, that is an alarming increase.
They didn't write everything that's in there except figures, and figures are quite alarming if you look at them alone. We have offered a good many services to the children of Douglas County that they haven't had, And you know yourself that when you go to build classrooms or do anything with state rules and regulation, that it costs more than it does anything else. Educatable mentally handicapped children require special teachers, special classrooms, special facilities, and this costs money. And I'm not defending the budget at all, that it's too high or too low. I say just place it against the things that we have accomplished in Douglas County, and out of all of the states and so forth like that, our IED budget passed, which some of them didn't. So apparently the people in our county figure that the services that we're giving your children is worth the money they're paying.
Your IED district build classrooms?
We do not build classrooms, we can lease them. We cannot own property, no. We can contract to have buildings installed and leased them to the districts.
Well, I mean, one of your reasons why the great increase was that you had to provide classrooms and buildings.
Classrooms, there's some of this that maybe, that I'm not familiar with, Mr. Barney Burton that's with me, would be that this year we have $154,000 to start the educatable mentally handicapped program in the junior high level, which has not existed in the county before. And due to the fact of poor budgeting, budget passes in the last 2 years, some of the schools do not have the room or the classroom to handle these classes.
Well, I would hope somebody might explain it to me, because it says that you may adopt your own budget for your expenses, including travel, providing the board with professional and clerical assistance, and for such services and equipment and supplies as the board may require. Now, it doesn't say anything about providing education for especially handicapped children, or classroom, or building.
I'm sorry, sir, that I can't answer that. I'm sure that there's a member of our department that can. But I do know this, that if we are doing it, it's within the legal rights of the IED district.
Have you submitted budgets in the past couple of years beyond the 6% limitation? No, you haven't. You've just been operating within them. You haven't taken it to the voters either.
We haven't been. Well, we have to submit our budget as a total because of equalization. As a total package, it has to go to the people, the total amount.
Right. Right. Has that total amount, it's my understanding, do you have a tax base? Okay. Now, have you ever exceeded the 6% limitation to the point where you've had to go to the people the last couple of years?
We've had our budget defeated as a full amount.
Right. So you had it defeated, then you reverted back to the 6%, right?
Yes,
so if I may clarify that, we submitted it to the people, the amount in addition to the 6% limitation. It failed once each time in 2 years. Each time the board then went back and made some changes in the administrative budget, lowered it, resubmitted it, and it was passed.
It was still in excess of the 6%.
So. Yes. We've always had a levy in excess of the 6% limitation.
Under this new program, how much did it cost for the new retarded children program you're starting?
We just started up this year, and we budgeted $154,000.
That would be included in these kind of figures? Is this what they're...
This is what they're referring to. This is the reason that I say that when you take figures and percentages, you can talk all day on them and cause all kinds of problems without the answer to what these figures are accomplishing.
Well, with this bill, do you think you could have the retarded school program?
Not within the 6%.
Well, now, on that question, Mr. Chairman, how is it that you are operating this retarded school program under the law?
It was on a vote, it passed outside the 6%. The budget passed this time, it was included in it for this coming year.
Is there somebody here from your district that can help me?
I can. There's a statute within 334 that allows, specifically allows the IED district to operate classrooms for mentally, or for the physically handicapped and the mentally handicapped. And you will see it as a number that refers to another section. And in all cases, we have had the required resolutions from two-thirds of school boards before we did.
Yeah, but no. Let's stop. How much of the mentally retarded money is actually coming from the property tax levy, and how much is coming from the state?
This is the first year, so nothing comes, this coming year will be the first year, so nothing comes from the state. The second year, there would be a reimbursement, if it were reimbursed in full, at $4,000 a classroom.
This is the reason that anyone can pick up a sheet of paper with a lot of figures on it and say that you're way up, and they don't say that this is the first year that a program was in effect and it's not funded any from the state or anything like this. And this
you're not getting any state mentally retarded funds. How about the trainable mentally retarded?
I can't answer that because we're not trying to do anything.
Well, you're not doing it. You're
no,
talking about
just
the
educable.
We don't have a program in that category.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Mr. Jones, Lane, IED.
Save some time, Mr. Chairman. Would you present those to the members of the committee?
William Jones, Lane IED, superintendent, and representing the Lane IED board. The Senate Bill 658, which you are considering today, has some things in it which I feel and our board feel the committee should take into consideration. First of all, the limitation within the limitation. 6% limitation on a line item rather than on the total budget. Also, as indicated from the chairman from Douglas IED board, the fact that you look at the services provided through these figures and not just the figures alone. I can remind the committee that if you increase from $1 to $4, you're still looking at a 300% increase. You haven't looked at what you've done with the $3. I think the important thing here, as far as IEDs and specifically as far as Lane is concerned, that you look at the kind of services provided with that additional amount of money. Also, to look at the situation as far as how these things are approved, let me use Lane as an example, if you don't mind. First of all, the statute says that all of the members of the budget committee shall be local school district board members. On top of that, our board has asked and has gotten the cooperation from the school districts of having a board member from each of the school districts, regardless of whether they have a member on the committee or not, a voting member. All of these people to make their response, to give their input as far as the budget is concerned. Have everything on that committee other than a vote. And I think the third item, if this isn't enough as far as bounds for what happens within this particular one, I think Senator Tia mentioned the fact that within his own county, for example, this year, if someone thinks that the two-thirds of the districts and one-half of the students doesn't work, they had a proposition in Washington County this year to add a service to their budget. They had districts in which 94% of the youngsters were located, but it did not represent two-thirds of the school district. Consequently, that service was not added to the IED budget. It seems to me that there, when we keep talking about administrative budget, we ought to be talking about service budget. Perhaps there is an attempt here so that some people at least would think that these are administrative funds rather than services going back to the local school.
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have a gentleman from Gold Beach representing the Curry IED, and I can't read your name.
Newgard.
Newgard. I don't read well, and you don't write very well.
I'll have to admit that is my writing, all right. I am Ray Newgard. I'm the superintendent of the Curry County Intermediate Education District, and I was charged by my board to come up and appear before this committee. I'm going to make it very brief in deference to some of these other folks. I'm sure they'll speak better than I. One or two things we agreed when we came in here to play this by ear as far as we individuals were concerned. So I'm going to answer a question or two which arose here during this part while I was in here. One thing I resent very much about this bill, concerning the bill, concerning the statement of some of the people here ahead of me, I want to reemphasize what Mr. Jones just said. This does not just limit our administrative budget. It eliminates our, covers our operating budget as well. Now, one of the reasons for this is because in our county, everything that we do down there, with the exception of the required duties and the things we do as service and so forth, are on a resolution basis. I feel that this bill definitely discriminates against those of us who are operating just entirely a resolution service. The contracted services, as the gentleman admitted before, are not affected by this particular bill. So I don't think you can call this an administrative limitation. Called an operating limitation, in our case at least. I've always said that I can live with a 6% administrative limitation, which is this bill did this, I wouldn't even be here, save it today. One of the other things I wanted to mention here in regarding to this this tax research bulletin that you've been referred to many times here, if the gentleman, Mr. First, and we'll look at that, you'll see that our budget over that period of time has raised 80%. Well, I did a little comparison, and I don't want to open another can of worms or anything else, but at the same time our budget raised 80%, equalization raised 170%. So, you know, we're not out of line, I don't think, in many instances, but the way costs have been escalating for education.
Your equalization raised how much? You say that same time you went up 81%, you raised
our
equalization.
Equalization went up approximately 170%.
How many IEDs would you estimate in the state were roughly the same? In other words, their equalization increased at the same
time? Oh, I really don't. I really can't answer that because I didn't compare too many of them. Some of them go above that and some below.
I'd like to see figures. Somebody could produce them.
I don't know
if you have any organization of IEDs, but...
I did prepare the figures for Curry County and give them to Dr. Baum when this thing came up before, but I'll be glad to make a comparison down there if you want me to.
Get the Department of Education to tell us. Okay, question? Go ahead.
One of the things I want to point out now, in this operating budget, for example, TMR was mentioned, and we don't have it in our county now, but if we had to add that to our budget, and we're the logical people down there, at least, in our area, to handle such a program, we would have to go to the local people, which might be bad, might not be bad.
That's what? Trainable.
Trainable, mentally retarded, yes. We handle all the educational programs, but we have no trainable
funds. Why would you have? I think the majority of those funds come from the state. That's what I'm talking about. Trainable.
Yeah, I'm probably not the majority. I think now, I wish I could remember exactly what our special education budget is. It's somewhere around, out of the $226,000, it's somewhere around $176,000.
This is on edge.
Yes, this is on, well, this is, Mr. Chairman, not just educable, it's on speech therapy and remedial reading also. And we get approximately $26,000 back from the state on reimbursement.
I'm on the board of the Trammell Mentally Retired School in Clackamas County, and I think almost all the funds are coming from the state level.
I haven't made a study of it. But if we had to, the point I'm trying to make is if we had to add another teacher here, there seems to be a need down there not to hire an extra, another speech therapist, so this would necessitate probably more over 6% limitation.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Summerside, is it from Homa County?
Somerville.
Somerville.
In the interest of time, Mr. Chairman, I would like to just contribute some written testimony I have in the past to Dr. Cherry, who's a member of my board, the chairman of the commission.
Do either of the other two gentlemen from Roseburg want to add any more?
No, I'll relinquish to Dr. Cherry.
I'm going to bring Dr. Cherry back later on this because we have one other bill we have to hear before the whole committee meets, which we're supposed to meet 10 minutes ago. So that'll end the hearing on 6:58 for the time being. We're not going to act on it now, and I want to hear from Dr. Cherry when we have some. Yes?
President Mark, may I attempt to answer the question that you asked of the family member started?
Okay.
In County, we have such a program. The assessment as far as school districts is concerned is the same as their per pupil cost. $750 for a youngster in the program. We receive just at $50,000 from Department of Mental Health. We're talking about approximately a third of the cost of the program.
The assessment goes back to the individual school district.
Yes.
I can.
Next year it'll be on the IED levy.
It'll be on the IED levy.
I can quote the figures from Homa County. Next year, our program will cost $384,000. $155,000 will come from the state. $190,000 will be the contribution to the IED. We provide a TMR program for 275 youngsters in six schools, five in Portland and one in Gresham.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry to be so.
Could I make one request?
Go ahead.
I'd like to see some figures, at least on statewide, on equalization, whether or not it's increased in these local IEDs.
I'm going to get
opposed to.
I'm going to ask the Department of Education right now. Gentlemen, I'm sorry we have to close the hearing, but we have one other bill, House Bill 374. We have two people. Sam Stewart, call first.
Good bill, too, Paul.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. This bill proposes to bulletin.
Gentlemen, could I ask you to carry on your conversations outside so we can hear this witness, please? Go ahead.
Senate Bill 374 proposes to increase the appropriation of the Tax Supervisory and Conservation Commission, which is a state agency existing, however, only in Multnomah County. Created in 1919, its funds are derived from the county budget. The commission for many years struggled along with an inadequate budget. We appeared before the last session of this legislature and requested 100% increase, $48,000. In order to reorganize and have a staff do the job necessary, we review 83 budgets. The legislature compromised that figure to $65,000. This bill requests the original amount of $80,000. What we're asking for basically then is $15,000 to hire an additional person. Presently, I have a staff full. Now, the whole Tax
the basic controversy that exists in this matter is the fact of whether or not the county should bear the full expense of the commission. Actually, the members of the commission feel that it really ought to be funded by the state because of the rather incongruous position we have of reviewing the county budget and yet being included within that budget. And that is a rather peculiar position to sustain in that regard. The county proposes that the expense of the commission be allocated among some of the principal districts of the county. The IED, for example, being one. As far as I know, and those are the amendments that Vincent, you sent over here along with the bill when you sent it, we feel, the commission feels that that this matter ought to be studied. It has been reviewed by members of the districts involved, to our knowledge, and we confirmed this with Michelle Bell of the Monroe County IED, that he knew nothing about it. We feel that it ought to be, this bill should pass as it is now, and that in the interim period, that may sit down with all the districts involved and see if some reasonable allocation can be worked out or some other form would find it. Reed would like to make that comment.
Thank you, Senator.
I have some prepared statements if you'd like to have them.
Radakovich, Mr. Radakovich.
I'll be very brief. My name is Bill Radakovich. I'm Deputy Director of Administrative Services for Multnomah County, and I'm here representing the Board of County Commissioners. The Board does not have any objection to the tax supervising Conservation Commission, but they do have objection to increasing the budget by $15,000, which is roughly a 25% increase over the current year. For a simple reason, where they're curtailing services in other county departments, that they don't see that it's fit to increase tax budget, but they do, and they have sent early this spring to the Senate amendments to the bill, which other tax levying bodies, the major ones in Multnomah County, would bear part of the cost of tax supervising, like the City of Portland and Metropolitan Transportation District and the community colleges, which would be very nominal in their budget.
By golly, I wouldn't mind putting the whole $15,000 on them on that transportation district.
But basically,
I'd be willing to cut your part and give more to them for all the cooperation we've gotten out of them this session.
But the Board thinks this would be favorably, since the tax supervisor, the Conservation Commission, does enable them and help the other tax levying bodies.
Do you have the amendments?
Yes, I do.
We're right happy to consider.
Thank you.
That closes the hearing on this.
Could I have just a few seconds on this?
Go ahead.
I doubt that there's any person that's been before this commission in the last 10 years more than I am. And the thing that is, I will not speak as to where the money should come from. This commission does a tremendous job. They review 83 budgets. These are big budgets. They're school district number one, Multnomah County, the city, and every other one there. They put an expertise on these budgets that doesn't exist on the boards. And for instance, the rest of the state and schools, it does not exist on budget committees. And personally, I think they do a tremendous job of form, abiding by the law, and so forth. And I would just think that they're doing a tremendous job in the terrible service.
I have no doubt. Do you see any reason that we shouldn't apportion some of the cost of this increase to the taxing districts?
I don't see any.
And we will have another hearing just as soon as we can on 658. I'll be sure that you get a notice on it.
Before I'm Mr. Chairman, it's only you and Howard.
He's not attending the
committee meeting.
Well,
he's doing
a lot.
Who? We still have a subcommittee?
No, subcommittee's over.